Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Not sure if tuning in, clicking on, or whatever you do when you're at a computer or you're on your phone or a tablet to listen to the Dave Holly Hour. It's greatly appreciated no matter what. We are in the countdown. This is episode 97. We have two more, and then we're on to triple digits. Every Thursday except for four during the, 2 weeks during the first and something along the line. Yeah, okay. It's still pretty darn good and I'm mighty happy about it. Plus, the other thing is, you know what we hit today? Because of a great group of comedians that gathered around the table, 200 guests on the Dave Holly Hour. We've made another milestone, folks, and it's all because they want to be on because they know that you're listening. So thank you, thank you, thank you so much. By the way, speaking of guests, yes, it's a whole group of comedians. We will find out how that all came about during the conversation later on. Also, on today's show, Madison Elliott from Headlights Theater. What a fun production that ends up being. They do it a few times each summer so far, and she'll give us all the details on everything else, except for one thing. She's not going to tell you where they're playing this weekend. Two different times, two different spots. It's a mighty well-held secret by Miss Madison Elliott. All righty, you know what it's time for? Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner, it's here!
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty, we can't wait for Friday, so a day early, we start the party. And our toast this week goes out to the Sidewalk Arts Festival at the Washington Pavilion. It ended up being a great day for it because I've been involved in it before, and I've been there when it's been like 102. I've seen rain showers, and I've seen a lot of wind, but a pretty darn fine day on this past Saturday. And it was just great to be out and about and see so many other people out and about filling the streets downtown Sioux Falls. And what I really liked about it was all the people I ran into and stopped and had a quick little chat with, you know, a lot of people I haven't seen for a while. So that was a great time. So thank you not just for what you provide for the arts, Washington Pavilion, but also for what you provided for the community. The Weekend Eve Toast has been brought to you by Ale Hop Brewery Tours. No matter what brewery in Sioux Falls is your favorite, Ale Hop Brewery Tours lets you and your friends choose any or all of the 8 local breweries. Best part, they take care of the driving in a very cool van. You can fit up to 6 people in that for your party. Book your private tours online at alehopbrewerytours.com. But if you're already out and about on the weekend, hop on one of their public tours. For more info on that, call 605-777-2183. That is 605-777-2183. Take from others that have said, I would recommend this tour to anyone, beer lover or not. Thanks for the great experience. Ale Hop Brewery Tours, where micro fans meet micro brews. And the other thing that we do here on a weekly basis is
honorable mention.
This week's honorable mention goes out to those three guys that have been traveling around quite a while. Well, the one guy's been in it the whole time because it's his band. Mogan's Heroes, John Mogan, Denny Gale, and Bill Hoffman. played out at Red Rock last weekend before Frank did karaoke. So I tell you what, it was a double bill for us in the Holly household. We had a great time going out and catching up with John and Denny and Bill. A wonderful time and always a pleasure to hear the music that they play. So thank you, thank you, thank you to our honorable mention this week, Mogan's Heroes. All right, later in the show, we'll hear from a whole bunch of comics. Too many that I can't remember all their names right now. And in just a moment, it's Madison Elliott from Headlights Theater on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but All Caps Fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself, too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
He's a bit flirtatious, but most of all, fun. Here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. Always such a pleasure to have you listening, no matter what format you use, the platform that you use to listen. Whether you're a listener, a streamer, a downloader, whatever, it all is just wonderful because we get to talk about Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment. We made it through one tough year. We're trying to get back to everything, but I tell you, some people just got innovative during the COVID and during that pandemic portion of it, at least, and said, you know what? If they can't come to a theater, we're going to take the theater to them. And the best example of that is the Headlights Theater. Maddie Elliott, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. I've had you on the radar since last year, but then, of course, you know, some shows didn't take place during the winter times and so forth. But it's just so fun to go to a Headlights Theater when it's beautiful weather out.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I have a very biased opinion, but
Well, you should.
I feel like it's a truly magical experience.
That's fantastic. And you know what's been so great about it is to see the response to it. You know, when you were thinking, okay, let's do some dance and some music, some acting, whatever else we can bring together and collaborate with other artists as well, and put them in a parking lot, and then not tell people that we're going to go to the show until about an hour and a half beforehand where the show would be. What did you expect the first time you did that?
Honestly, I had no expectations. I was a little worried that nobody would show up and we would just be a bunch of whack jobs dancing and singing in a parking lot. And then our first show, we oversold. And there was more people than I could have ever imagined. And it's been that way for every single parking lot transformation. So the response that we have gotten is so inspiring and at times overwhelming, just because it's so much love and support from the community to come out and support local artists. I couldn't even be more grateful.
Well, let's talk just a little bit more to get people that aren't aware of what you do, what it is. And then we'll talk about this weekend. And then we'll talk about the whole thing encompassing and dance and everything else in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for those that aren't aware, you started Headlights Theater last year. You invited people to come out and park their cars, turn on their headlights. They could get out and sit on lawn chairs, whatever. And you were going to dance.
Yeah, pretty much. And it was a collaboration with local artists and local musicians in particular. But it really was a collaboration with the artists and the community, because like I said, without the community, we're just a bunch of weirdos in a parking lot. And so with when they're coming in, they're also transforming, you know, an average parking lot into a magical landscape for art. And it was a way to bring our community together during COVID in a safe way while giving compensation opportunities and performance opportunities to local artists. So they were able to continue to work during the pandemic. And also too, like at the very beginning of Headlights, it really angered me that it felt like art was the thing that was being sacrificed.
Very true.
The community coming together had to be sacrificed, you know, in order to keep everyone safe. And I was like, there has to be a better way to do this. People need art. People need an artistic outlet. And that's how this little thing began.
You know, a lot of people started doing virtual shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm familiar with a lot of the comedians in town. And they said it was pretty tough, you know, without having somebody there to actually laugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's an LOL mean when it comes back, you know, like 10 seconds later after you did your bit? And then, you know, Good Nights Theater started doing things. And a lot of people got together. And it was great, at least, that they had that. But still, it was like, no, you said, we're still going to be out doing something somewhere so that. Plus, you know, it was good for people just to get out even.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love about it. And it's just so much fun to see all the different collaborations. So you've got two shows this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, correct?
Yes, Friday and Saturday. We're collaborating with a musician. His name is Denim. He is...
Yes, that's right. I did see that.
Incredible. We absolutely love him. But not only are we partnering with a musician, as always, but this show, we're also partnering with local clothing designers, Wake, Mona Lisa and Tyler. These two individuals have done so much for the community. They just are constantly uplifting the arts scene here. And so the dancers will be wearing their merchandise. It's going to be one for the books for sure.
Excellent. Now, again, we teased earlier, we don't know where.
You don't know where. And you're going to have to RSVP on our website or follow us on social media, and we'll announce the location an hour before. But because I love you, I'll give you a little teaser.
Okay.
We have been in both of these parking lots before, and they're both located downtown.
Ooh.
Yes, you've heard it here first.
Yes. I've been to a couple of them. Now I'm going to try and figure this one out. You know, by the way, we're recording this. This is our first time that we're recording at our wine bar. And a very nice spot, and a thank you to Ricardo, speaking about somebody that helps out the arts and entertainment in this town, especially when it comes to the jazz scene and other music. So thank you to him, but I'm thinking, you know, do you need a big bottle of wine to release what the names are? We'll even do it after the podcast
maybe
is over.
Maybe I'll tell you once the microphones are
okay.
Off.
I think that's just, you know, another little gem of the whole bit, you know, throwing it out. Hour beforehand, hey, here's where you need to go.
Well, I mean, the experience really does start when you find out where it's located. You get that notification on your phone. You pack your car filled with your friends, your family. You drive to this place not knowing what you're about to get yourself into. And you watch this parking lot transform into a theater. So it, literally from the second that email gets sent out, the experience starts.
How's the experience for others that collaborate with you? What do they tell you? And what was the first reaction when you told somebody else about your idea?
Well, so our very first show, we pitched this idea to a lot of people, just being like, well, we have no idea what we're doing. Do you trust us? Are you willing to just be a part of this process and not worry about the product? And so I understand why people were tentative at first, but we got one band and they're like, screw it, like, let's do it. And from that point on, I think people are just hungry for it. You know, I want to try to get as many people involved with these performances as possible, because I really do believe it's unlike any other performance experience. Headlights Theater stages are my favorite stages to perform on.
I needed to ask you about that. I mean, you're obviously athletically fit. You're a wonderful dancer. Did you, you know, ever do any break dancing on asphalt or anything?
Gosh, I have scraped my knees, scraped my back. After these shows, I have bruises in places. I don't know how I got bruises there, but
give me the ibuprofen.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, it's, you really have to be careful with your body, on a professional level. You know, you don't want to injure yourself. You want to make sure everything is safe, but it's so easy to lose yourself in those environments. It's very different than dancing on stage. Also, we're dancing in sneakers, and I usually, in the studio, I'm barefoot. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole other aspect to it. But I don't, my body just kind of does whatever it wants to do.
Well, I like I said, it's just amazing to see your flexibility, the movement that comes along, and then adding the music and so mm-hmm. forth is just such a great, great part of this experience. So those of you that have never gone, go to their website and make sure that you get RSVP for either Friday night or Saturday night. Like we said, we don't know where it's going to be.
Yeah.
I haven't even been told yet, you know, but I'm going to wait for that. I guess.
All right. I hear you. Okay.
What's it take to be a good dancer that can adapt to a, you know, people always talk about adapting to a different stage, a different venue. You go out to a parking lot, that's a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is a really good question.
I get in one good question per interview, so there it is.
Well, that's the one.
Yeah, the 950 mark.
Kind of going back to process versus product. If you are going into a dance move or a trick just expecting for it to work out magically, it's not going to. You have to be aware of every single like millisecond that it takes for a transition to happen, for a movement to really evolve. So just being present, I think, is the best way to be adaptable. And I mean, let's get profound here, but not even for dance, for life. You mm-hmm. know, if we're just constantly on the go, go, go to only succeed and only to like reach a certain level after the process, well, you miss the journey. It's like, what's that saying? Oh my God, it's so cheesy and I'm annoyed that I'm about to say it, but it's like, the journey is better than the destination or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know?
There's a thousand memes on that one.
Yeah. Goodness. I'm a little embarrassed that I even brought that one up.
No, don't be. My favorite that I've begun to pay attention to is never take criticism from somebody you wouldn't seek advice from.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
I'm digging that one really.
That gave me the chills.
Ooh. Well, you know, talking about giving you the chills, you know, that's another thing that you have to worry about when it comes to an outdoor show.
Oh, my goodness.
Because you're not, you know, under a big stage canopy like mm-hmm. a band might be at a state fair or something. You and the elements.
Oh, the elements. And, you know, knock on wood, touch wood, we haven't had too much difficulty with mm-hmm. that. You know, it's, we've had a few times where it's like really, really hot, but then the sun goes down and then it gets better. But we did have one show. It was our last show last season. For some reason, the world decided that it was going to be 30 degrees. And then when the sun went down, it dropped down to 20 degrees. And we, you know, we got thermal underwear. We put on the layers and we got a heating machine for our musicians. But the adrenaline took us over, and it actually was probably one of my favorite experiences. Because again, process versus product, you just had to be in the process the whole time in order for the magic to happen.
So when you started this last year during the pandemic, and by the way, the correct pronunciation is pandemic. When you started it, were you thinking it would be just for, you know, the length of the pandemic?
Yeah. Honestly, we really were only planning for one show at a time. So we planned for the first show and we were like, oh, we want to do it again. So we did another show. Ah, let's do it again. So there really wasn't a whole lot of planning that went into place with last season. I live in New York. I moved back here during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I never in a million years would think that this is where my career would be. I moved away from Sioux Falls when I was 15 and had no expectations of moving back. And now here I am living in New York, but also prioritizing living in mm-hmm. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So yeah, I had zero idea that this was going to be a huge part of my career and a huge part of my life, but it is absolutely such a blessing. And I mean, Headlights has done so much for me, and I'm speechless for the fact that it has the potential to do something for the community.
Well, and it has. You've been awarded. Sioux Falls Stage Awards.
Oh, my goodness.
Love you.
Oh, I love them.
Well, I was on this year's panel, so.
Oh, well, thank you.
So you've won some things from that. Yeah. That's got to be fun for, you know, a true grassroots idea to come to fruition and then get accolades for it.
Yeah. But, you know, even I remember so vividly when I was accepting that award, I was like, I feel silly standing up here by myself. There's a whole team and group of people that are helping me cultivate these shows and so many collaborators. And it takes a lot of people to transform a parking lot into the Headlights Theater. Because once again, without everyone, we're just a bunch of weirdos.
And you got to direct them where to park.
Oh, bless my parents for that. Yeah. We have volunteers and my parents must really, really love me if they're willing to help park cars. No,
well, especially, you know, when it gets down to 30 degrees or 20 degrees even, you know?
Oh, yeah. There was definitely, they weren't complaining too much, but.
Yeah, bring your own hot chocolate if that's the case.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What's it take to produce this type of show, though? I mean, because when you decide, hey, I'm going to have denim, or, you know, you had Goodnight Theater Collective with the band, and you've had so many different bands and different collaborations. How long do you have to rehearse, and do you actually choreograph, or is your dancing more of a free form?
So when we first started, it was a lot of choreography. It was a lot of collaboration, you know, between the musicians and the dancers. But there have been times when we're about to go out into the parking lot and we had things choreographed, but in the moment it didn't feel right. So we say, screw it and improv.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes like the musicians are like, we don't want to do that song right now. We're going to do another. And then the dancers are like, oh, this sounds new. Let's do something new. But so something else that's
embracing it.
Oh, that's the name of the game. Truly embracing it. And we kind of call it an organized mess.
Right.
Because we can do whatever we want at the end of the day. But with this season, you know, we're flying out dancers, which is something different that we didn't do the first season. So the dancers usually come on the Tuesday of Headlights Week. And we make a show in a week.
Wow.
And yeah, a lot of people are like, wow, you must have worked on this for months. And I'm like, oh God, if you only knew.
Well, now they do.
Well, now they know. Oops, spoiler alert. But yeah, so it's a very quick process. But I almost prefer it that way, because sometimes if you're working on something for a really, really long time, it's easy to overthink and it can be easy to procrastinate.
I was just going to think about that, you know, the overthinking part.
Yeah, and like second guessing.
Yeah. Because then it's like, oh, but I want it to be perfect.
Yeah, and...
And sometimes you forget that, you know, when it comes to the improv, when it comes to just going with the flow, that's the beauty.
And again, process versus product. That really is something that the Headlights is living by, especially when it comes to dance material. And, you know, it's I love bringing the dancers out here because they have no other choice but to trust themselves and trust their body. Because you're just getting thrown into it.
What got you into dance?
So I started dance when I was 3 years old.
My goodness.
I had too much energy. My parents didn't know what to do with me, and they put me in a dance class, and I've been doing it ever since. It just makes sense for me. It's like coffee. I mean, I drink a lot of coffee, but there's no other caffeine hit or like adrenaline hit than dance.
Awesome. You know, and that's the thing that I love. In fact, I think somewhere along the line in some of my promotional stuff, I said, my passion is talking to people about their passion. And that's what I love about our arts community. And I want to ask you, you know, like you said, you took off at 15 and you left Sioux Falls, never intending to come back. So when you came back, what'd you think of what's happened?
Oh, well, first off, I didn't love growing up here, especially as a dancer, because there wasn't a dance scene. So that is why I left, so I could pursue my dreams. And with that, I had to grow up earlier than any kid should have. But then coming back, I was like, oh, crap, I'm back in South Dakota. Like, here we go. And then I started to meet these incredible artists who live here and choose to live here.
And make a living in the arts here.
And make a living in the arts here. And it's so admirable, and it's And the work that they do is incredible. Like, you don't have to go to a big city to experience high quality art. Like, there is art where you live if you look for it and if you're open to it. And so, honestly, the artists here just inspire me so much. And they are the reason why I continue to come back here, is because just good people, good people doing good things for a good community. And I'm just really, really grateful that I get to be a part of it.
What do you enjoy most about dance as a collaboration with other artists that are non-dancers?
Yeah, well, collaborating with other art forms influences my body more than if I'm collaborating with dancers, because it's two different languages. You know, when I am in a practice with a band, I get to watch them set up. I get to hear them tune their instruments while I'm like tuning and stretching mine. And they're two different worlds, but with the same passion and the same love. My favorite things are collaborations. I hate doing stuff by myself. I can't spend time by myself, but I am inspired by people. And like you, like, you're inspired and you love talking to people about their passions. I love being a part of their passions and watching them work. And that makes me want to do my passion and see how can these two different languages communicate.
All right. As a dance fan, do you study old dancers?
Yeah.
Like, Gene Kelly?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So Fred Astaire or Gene Kelly?
Oh my gosh. How can you even ask a question like that?
And I would even throw in Danny Kaye.
You know, I'm going back to my dance history class, watching Fred Astaire, honestly, something about the way.
So smooth.
Yeah. I could watch those YouTube videos of him dancing for hours and hours.
Yeah. I have watched those for hours and hours. Okay. So then, Ginger Rogers or Sid Charisse?
Is it horrible that I don't know who Sid Charisse is? Oh,
yes,
God.
It is.
Maybe can we take this off of the podcast?
No, we're not going to take it out because it's real.
Well,
we're going with our passions
there is,
here. And you're being honest about it.
I'm being honest. Oh, I might be a bad dancer for this one.
No.
But there is a saying.
She's not that well known, but she used to be in a lot of MGM musicals.
Okay.
Even, quote unquote, sang one time, but they overdubbed her. Because she couldn't sing, but she could dance, and I have 3 autographed pictures of her in my office.
That's
so
incredible. Okay,
yeah.
So definitely, once we're done talking, I'm going to write that down, and I'm going to go home and do my research, and yes.
All right. So who do you admire then?
Who do I admire?
Besides looking back to the classics and so forth, who in the modern dance did you go, wow,
yeah,
I like that. I like that this art form is becoming something other than just, you know, somebody dances in a musical.
Yeah. Well, so like I was saying, collaborations are really important to me. There's this choreographer, his name is Doug Verone. I have had the pleasure of working with him in the city. He was a mentor of mine in college. He prioritizes collaborations with his dancers. So it's by playing games. He literally will go into the studio and play games with his dancers, and that's how they create movement. And honestly, like, he is one of my biggest inspirations. But also, not even that, like, not even going and thinking about like famous people, but I feel extremely honored and blessed that I get to call some of my best friends the greatest artists I know and most inspiring artists. All of the dancers I bring in, that I love them for their entire being. And my best friends are my favorite artists because I know them and I see them on a very, very personal level.
All right. So once again, Friday night, Saturday night.
Yes, yes.
Places to be determined.
Yes, yes, yes.
And what time are you starting?
9. Location 9 is announced at 8. And it's a donation-based entry. So whatever you are willing to give, that's what we'll take. A little goes a long way. And the last thing that we would ever want is for someone to not feel like they can come.
Right.
Because they can't afford it. Like, no, art is accessible to everyone.
Yeah, very well. And so glad that you're accessible at this. It's been fantastic to see the growth of the company over the past 2 summers. Yeah. And as well, the professionalism, the quality.
Mm-hmm. It's only going to keep going up.
Exactly. And so now we come to the favorite part of the podcast for so many people. When you're not creating or being a part of art, what do you like to go see or listen to?
When I am not a part of art, when am I not a part of art? Yeah. When I'm sleeping, honestly.
So in your dreams.
Yeah. But even like when I'm with my friends, a lot of my friends are artists.
Mm-hmm.
I like watching TV. I like binge watching shows that I've seen 1,000 times.
What have you been binge watching lately?
Oh, lately. Okay. Guilty Pleasure, The Circle on Netflix.
Watched that, yeah.
It's dumb, but I think it's fun. I mean, I'm a huge Office person. I love mm-hmm. New Girl, Parks and Rec. I just like TV.
Any of the new ones?
Nothing that really comes to my mind.
Well, we'll have to get you hooked on a few of them then.
Yeah.
Any other hobbies you have at all?
I make journals out of reused and recycled materials.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah, so that's kind of my side.
Repurposing.
My side hustle. Yeah. Those are my little art babies.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Madison Elliott, everybody loves to call you Maddie. Such a pleasure having you on the Dave Holly Hour.
It's my pleasure.
All right, and we'll be back with more in just a moment.
Woohoo!
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation, 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everybody. I tell you what, this has been one of the most fun nights I've ever had. Backyard Comedy, brought to you by Prairie Madness. Jamie Tharney is the gal that you've heard talk about Prairie Madness before, but Jamie, this was an incredible event, and why don't you go ahead and introduce everybody that's around the round, well, it's a rectangular table.
It's a rectangular table, it is.
It's not a round table, but we got the rectangular thing going so that we can talk about comedy and what we just acquired.
Yeah,
tonight.
Right on. So over to my left, I've got Preston Williams.
Hello, hello.
And I've got Shelly from Roller Derby. And I've, the Fister. I've got Ian Rylan Smith, Logan Hartnett, Jerry Irby, and Andrew Kerner.
All right. Great to have you all along, because this has been, so many of you are on my list anyway to have on the show regardless. Jamie's been on a few times. And of course, Jerry's been on a couple of times as well, done some shows along with them and so forth. But I tell you what, it's been fun for me to, you know, take that step and actually do a little bit of stand up over the past year. You know, I'm to that age of going, what the hell? Got to get it done. But, you know, you guys are all young yet. And so you got a life of comedy ahead of you. Why don't we just kind of go around the room and then around the lawn, because we're outside in Jamie's backyard.
As you heard the dogs
backyard
barking.
Backyard comedy tonight. Andrew Kerner, what did it mean to you to perform here tonight?
It was a lot of fun. Like, wrestling is a hobby that I've picked up fairly recently, and comedy is also, like, within the past couple years, just something I've picked up. So being able to combine those two, like, two new loves of mine into a whole new thing. It was a lot of fun, and I think it's something that I think is only going to improve as we do more of these, hopefully.
Yeah, it was a great night, no doubt about that. You know, a great time to have some fun with a great theme as well of the wrestling. And Jerry Irby, you know, I think you're kind of a champ anyway, but you come in with a WWE belt.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because I'm the champ.
Because you want the champ. You earned it.
Because I'm the champ.
Yeah. What'd you do to earn it, though?
It's called the Champions Game. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We heard that earlier tonight, but what the hell does it mean?
What it means is, okay, the champion's game. The game is whatever the champion decides, wherever the champion decides, at whatever time the champion decides. And if the opponent doesn't show up, that's a forfeit and they can never challenge again.
Okay. All right. Mr. Garnett, how about you? Tell us what's going on, Logan. What did you get involved in for comedy that you never dreamed you'd probably be performing in a backyard about wrestling?
No, definitely did not. It was an amazing event. Anytime you get to go hang out with your buddies, just be goofy in some backyard, drink a few beers, life's pretty good at that point.
That's for sure. Ian Rylan Smith, You always scare me because your initials are IRS.
I have that effect.
I'm worried about that many times.
I'm scary for other reasons,
but
too, I'm sure.
Yes, you are. And tonight you brought us a new character. With the wrestling theme, you became Mr. Controversy.
That's right.
Yeah. What was that all about?
Well, I just have some jokes that I did in my older days when I sucked at comedy, even more than I already do. And I figured that they'd probably be funnier if someone else was telling them. Like someone who's allowed to, you know, be controversial. How about someone literally named Mr. Controversy?
Just did you feel
this,
it worked well
this
for
character
tonight?
Outside of Ian Ryland Smith.
Uh-huh.
So because some of those jokes are all right. Like Lil Wayne, more like Lil Brain. Anyone can say that. But if I like go completely hyperbolic and make it all about how controversial I am, and then I come up with just shit like, oh, Jay-Z, more like lazy. Yeah.
How did you feel it went tonight?
I feel it went better than I expected. I didn't think the rape joke would work very well, but everyone seems to be all right with that.
Mr. Controversy, indeed. Hand that microphone over. We have a super fan of comedy here, Shelley, who happens to be with the roller derby as well.
Oh, Sioux Falls Roller Derby, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And you were, you and your husband were both in attendance tonight. First of all, did you enjoy it?
Oh, yes. Okay. I enjoyed it so much, even though everybody doesn't realize I'm a super fan, so.
Right, because you were kind of joking that everybody recognizes your husband, despite the fact you have blue hair.
He's freaking good looking. I mean, have you guys seen him?
He is a handsome man.
Especially
I will give
beard.
Him that. Yes, beards are nice.
10 out of 10 would bang.
Yeah.
Actually, what
do you like about going to local comedy, though?
I mean, I love local comedy. I love supporting just local anything. So, I mean, I love these guys. I've seen most of them perform. What I loved about this backyard event, though, is everybody just kind of, it didn't seem, what's the word I'm looking for, PC controlled, you know? So that was really fun and exciting. And then we got to just sort of heckle. Heckle the comedians was a lot of fun. Give you a little shit. So. Yeah.
Jamie Tharney,
yes.
The producer.
Yes.
The person that said, let's just have some fun, have a little picnic, have some food and some booze, and we'll have some laughs. Was this as good as you expected or better than expected?
This was a lot better because in the end, everybody sort of like piled on top of each other, and it was a sort of kind of homoerotic homage to professional wrestling. And I never thought I would get to see all these local comics, you know, do that sort of thing. And it was pretty great. And I got to referee. And so that was
true.
Badass.
Yeah. And I think at least, you know, from my experience, I used a different voice and so forth and a character and so forth. And I think that was great because we got to see so many people. We've seen them so often, but we got to see them step out of who they regularly are.
Yes.
And that was a lot of fun. All right. Preston Williams, give us your wrestling name.
Ferguson the Furry Rodriguez.
How did you come up with that?
I work construction, and we have a lot of time when we're pretending to be busy and not actually being busy. And that's actually a name some guy I worked with, his name is Hector, and I thought he's a lightweight guy. And I'm like, if you ever get into wrestling, your name needs to be Hector the Spectre Rodriguez. And from there, I just got to where I got.
What got you into comedy in the beginning?
I've always talked too much. And this seemed like the best way to make money from that. I do have to say I love the backyard comedy show because I've actually been to one of these before in my hometown. And we did it much later, and the noise ordinance says you have to stop at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And this show was running at 9:30, and there was a cop that showed up at 9:30, and we're like, do we have to shut this down? He goes, no, you're fine till 10, but I wanted to get listen. So, I love doing these backyard shows. They're a lot of fun, and this was no exception. This was a lot of fun. It was great to do comedy as a character. That was a lot of fun for me.
Very true about that. Logan, you're a Sioux City guy, right?
Yep.
All right. So what was the draw of this event that said, I want to scramble up to Sioux Falls on a Sunday afternoon on a day off?
Honestly, so I come up to Sioux Falls, do some of the open mics here from time to time. And everyone else that's coming out, I'd say, are pretty good friends of mine. So, I mean, kind of like I said earlier, anytime I have to have a few beers with some friends and act like a goof, life's good.
You're going
to
do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Kerner, what was the start of comedy for you? I've seen you perform a couple of times. You have a particular style and so forth. How did you get to this point?
Could you elaborate on that question a little bit?
Yeah, just, you know, from the beginning from of when you first stepped out, maybe it was an open mic, to the point that, you know, you're beyond just doing your feature or headline type thing or opening, and you become a character for a night.
I think it's all about just practice, just, you know, going to mics and working on your craft, but not just that, like the constantly thinking, like, you're going to have these dumb, funny thoughts in your head anyway. You may as well, like, take the good ones that work down, evolve on it. So it's just a process of always being writing, like, at all times, just passively. So it's living it that gets you to
excellent
to a certain point.
Jerry Irby, we've talked before, you've talked about your process, and I know that one of them, first of all, a few weeks back, we had a show down in Canton.
Yeah, the tornado show.
A tornado night.
Yeah.
We all made just a boatload of money with six people that paid.
We performed in a basement during a tornado. You can't stop
us. That's a good place to be. Can't stop the comedy.
And you were almost late to that because I-29 was closed. Oh, yeah. There was all sorts of crap going on and so forth. But tonight, you know, I was told at one point that the performance part would start like at 3:30, maybe 4. We're all waiting on Jerry. Jerry being late became the joke.
Yeah, I guess so.
You took up your 10 minutes more than twice.
Well, I didn't know that the whole thing would wait on me. I said I had guests. Yeah, I show up after the guests were gone. I mean, thank you guys. I feel special.
You guys were all talking about me while I was in here.
You're welcome, Jerry.
I didn't know. I just didn't know you guys would wait.
We would for you. You know? Yeah.
I am the champ, though. So, of course, of course you'd wait for me.
There is no show without me.
And I'll prove the show starts when I get here, Dave. Yeah,
well, right. I know one of the things that you do is you basically, you work on your bits all the time. And you think of your bits, you know, new bits and so forth. But then when it comes to showtime, you pretty well just do it that afternoon where you take a look at your notes and go, okay, we'll go this one, this one, this one, this one.
Yeah.
How did that change to come on as the champ?
I brought my notebook and, you know, I was going to throw something together. But then once I got here, started interacting with everybody and then saw what everybody was doing, I said, you know, why? I don't want to read from the notebook. I just want to go up, talk, just have some fun, say whatever. So, yeah, that's what happens. And then I'm the champ, too, so why not? What else is my... I don't have to think of another persona. I'm the champ. Yeah. I'm not a self... The proof is right there. The proof is right. Who else got a championship?
By the way, where'd you buy the belt?
I won the belt. In Rapid City, South Dakota.
Oh, yes.
On a Thursday.
On a Thursday?
At 3 a.m.
Oh, wow. What was her name? Ian, what do you love about being on stage?
The power trip, really. But I'm just kind of a little crazy.
So you let know, the crazy like, come out in the power.
I like, yeah, a little bit. People have to pay attention to me, and I like that. I think there's something not normal about me or something like that, and that's why I enjoy being on stage.
Yeah, because people can say something not normal about that.
A lot of great performers on TV, right. They've said, oh, I'm always nervous when I go on stage. Me?
Nah. No.
Nope.
Nerves.
Nope. I'm shaking my head. Your listeners can't tell this, but I'm shaking my head. I'm like... A soulless, I don't want to say soulless. Forget I said that.
Yeah, you can't say that as a ginger.
Hey, you guys can't use the G word. Yeah, that doesn't make it better. Oh, and I'm not even going to say that. You don't even want to know. You're not ready for that.
Jamie, what are the times that you go, oh, God, this would be great to throw in right now, but better not?
Oh gosh, all the time? Yeah. Yeah. Like I like to watch. And that's why Hey.
That's just like I said to my wife earlier. I said, "Yeah, we'll do it, you know, on a table later."
Yeah.
I meant that we'd have people around the table for the podcast, yeah.
But then we'll get on top of the table later.
Why not both?
No, I like producing shows better than I like doing stuff on my own, really.
Really?
I do, because I have control.
Because you're so good at what you do on your own.
I have control over what's going on, though. You know?
True.
Like, yeah, I am an absolute control freak. And I can be like, hey, I want this person, this person, this person. And I want this theme, you know, in my head is what I am thinking of. And then I pick them out and I'm like, hey, you want to do this? And they're like, yeah, sure. And I'm like, all right, cool, perfect. We're doing this and it's going to be this theme. And people are usually down. So I find that much easier. God, it's so much easier.
Preston, what are you hoping happens when you get up on stage in front of a microphone?
I hope they pay attention.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of comics just like when they get up on stage, like, you have to be funny. You have to be funny. I think a lot of them, like, you can also be interesting while you're doing comedy instead of just being funny. If you can manage to hold their attention. And I used, like, a lot of times I've been telling a story on stage and I'll stop for a pause and no one's laughing. And that used to annoy me, but eventually I realized they're all looking at me. They're paying attention. They're listening to the story. So I just hope people, I can grab someone's attention when I'm on stage.
Jamie, you had a fly over on your wrist, as we, like I said, we are outside.
Yes.
And that made me think, since it's, you know, wrestling theme, Jimmy the Superfly Snuka.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But we
segue.
Have, you know. Yes. Thank you. I get one in per show. And we do have a super fan with us.
Yes.
And we already asked you then, Shelley, about, you know, you support the comedy and local events and so forth. And you've been very pleased, obviously, with what you've seen, because you keep coming back and so forth. You ever thought of going on stage yourself?
Oh, fuck no. Sorry for the language, but no.
There's the explicit rating on this one.
Yeah. We just got to...
Ouch.
I would rather have the loudest laugh in the audience and, you know, be the super fan for the comedians. But no, but if you want to come see me hit a bitch in roller derby, I'll do that all day.
And we will have you on the show to talk about that. Yes. What about the admiration for somebody that does stand up, though?
Oh, these guys are brave. These guys are super brave. And I really love what Jamie's doing, like supporting women. And I just admire her so much. And I love her craft. Like, I love Jamie. But yeah, getting on stage, period, is just super brave for all of you. So thank
you
for continuing.
I know, you know, we don't, this isn't, while we are on YouTube, it's just audio. It's not visual. So you were shaking your head again.
It's
weren't
just,
you?
I don't feel brave when I do this.
Don't worry, you're not coming across as very brave either.
No. That's not the vibe we got, if you thought that.
Not the vibe.
Yeah, you shouldn't get that, because you know that, there's nothing really brave about comedy. Especially not with what I'm trying to do, even outside of Mr. Controversy. Like, I'm trying to, you know, just be like everyday kind of funny stuff. Like,
yeah,
that's so brave.
That's not that brave.
Yes, oh yeah, it's bringing a lot.
I don't want. The boundaries have been pushed out pretty far. I don't need to push them any further.
I just want
to
throw out, like, if you guys didn't know, the largest organ on Ian's body is his ego.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to tone it down by talking about how much I suck, but it's not working because I still think I'm good.
Well, I mean, I do agree with Ian on this point. It's a case of, like, a lot of times, you don't get on stage unless it's, you know, it gives you that endorphin rush.
Right.
For me, like, I'm never nervous before shows, really. Like, unless it's like a super small crowd, but I'm never nervous for shows, which is surprising. But it's, you know, I feed off of the crowd's energy. I love that. It's a way, I don't know, I guess for me to feel like I'm able to connect with people without actually talking to them.
I talk at them.
It's not a conversation.
Right. It's not a conversation.
Yeah. It's a dictatorship.
It feels like people listen and people actually care about me. So it feels like being on stage is right, you know?
Go Jerry, because I love it when you grab the mic like I gotta say something.
It's just fun. That's what it is for me. It's fun. Like, I'm never really worried about whether the audience is gonna laugh or not. I mean, thank God they always do. But because I like telling my jokes, all right? So I'm gonna have a good time regardless. All right, this is about to be fun for me. And, you know, if everybody's along for the ride, hell yeah. If not, I'm sorry.
You know, my first endeavor into comedy was I did about 15 to 20 years of improv comedy, you know, so it's with a group and so forth. And I remember the first time that I was ever in a show where we had a paying audience. And the guy that was in charge of it said, remember, 95% of the people out there don't have the balls to do what you're doing. So just go out and have fun. And I've always kept that. And I've thought that same way then as I've, you know, been putting my foot into the water here with stand up a little bit, you know, doing some open mics, doing this tonight and so forth, and putting on some shows. And I'm really enjoying it. And Ian, you know, when you get up there, you know, you've talked about the fact that, you know, you're not nervous going up on top and so forth. Well, you know, getting on stage, let's rephrase that one.
Yeah.
That explicit phrasing. Rating is coming out all over the place.
He's a total top. Not a
yeah, I'm a top for sure. Yeah.
He comes across as a top, wish I was but gay. In reality.
I only wish I was gay.
You can bottom to a woman. Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't want a dummy? Yeah,
that took a weird turn.
Oh, sure you would.
That took a weird turn.
But,
where's my beer?
there's a lot of people, like you said, they say it takes balls to do comedy. Well, that's... I know I've only been doing this 2 years, but I know one of the secrets of comedy is it doesn't take balls.
Okay.
You just need to be kind of a jackass.
At least a little bit.
At least to watch some old MTV then, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. What are the types of inspirations you all have? Andrew, what did you aspire to be a comic because of?
I don't know. I just always make just various observations and whatnot. I don't know. It's not a case of, like, I wanted to be a comic. It was a case of I should get up on stage and say this stuff now. Inspiration just comes from everywhere. Like, any pun that pops into my head, any situation I think is vaguely weird. Like, the Undertaker jokes that I had tonight, I wrote while I was watching Wrestling High and thought that it was just so fucking absurd that, like, they'd have this undead ghoul try to address racism in the ring. Like, that's the stupid shit that wrestling is about, and that encapsulates all of wrestling, and, like, just recounting that in an interesting way turns it into a joke.
Yeah, I agree with that. Just, like, weird life is weird, and just pointing that out is what a comic does, and that's funny. Like, a comic's job is, like, you realize this shit's crazy, right? This is fucking weird. We have the Undertaker trying to fix racism. That's fucking crazy. Like, the fact you can write that out to any other joke, all I can come up with is, that's fucking crazy.
It's like we're not even trying.
You know, Jamie's been pretty hot lately, getting around the nation, headlining
around
a lot
the
of places.
Nation. Actually, I am coast to coast, bitches, coast to coast.
That you have been, and it's fantastic to
big
see somebody that, you know,
nation.
Is local doing that.
Uh-huh.
And I know we've talked, and you talk about the fact that when you get to other markets, that's competition.
Yeah.
You go in there, it's competition.
It
where
is.
It back home. It's collaboration.
At home, yeah, we're all, like, kind of down with each other and help each other out, and we're just having a good time in Sioux Falls, but you go to other places and things are a little different. Things are a little bit different. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Hand the mic over to Superfan Shelley.
No, but really, one thing I noticed about Jamie is she's, like, totally pushing the limits in comedy in Sioux Falls. You know, I've never seen a woman at the forefront. Maybe I've just only started going to comedy. But, like, I have not seen a woman at the forefront of comedy. And she's, like, going around the nation. And she's just pushing the limits. And I really, really admire you for that. And, like, you're amazing. And I will always try to show up and support you. So... Superfan.
Yeah. So then that was a great segue into what I really wanted to talk about for our kind of final round table part. is the stat or the state, if you want to call it, the state of comedy in Sioux Falls. What do you think of it at this point, Preston?
You guys are all way too nice. You realize this? No, I've done comedy other places. I took a few weeks just to go comedy in L.A. in their open mics and see how they're all assholes. We're all too nice. Like this is the comedy scene in this town is a family. Yeah, by far. Like, honestly, like, I mean, just look right now what we're doing. We are just hanging out at someone's house and putting on a comedy show. And there was one super fan and her husband in the audience.
More than
and,
one and, super and, fan.
And, yeah, there were two super more, fans. Yeah. Shout out to Graham. Shout out to Graham. We love you, Graham.
Yeah.
And your wife. We got two spouses and the wonderful super fan, Graham.
Another spouse.
Yeah.
Other
person. Yeah. Yeah.
Who provided the power for this podcast. And,
yes.
And he was kind of the, general manager of
the,
yes. of the arena. Yeah.
The
outdoor arena.
Yeah.
How about, Ian, yes. how about for you in terms of the state of comedy in Sioux Falls? What do you think?
Oh, South Dakota. I'm just kidding. I think we're doing all right. I like doing comedy in Sioux Falls, well, quote unquote comedy in Sioux Falls, because it's the comics, they stay for each other's sets, and they just don't do that in other cities, except Des Moines. I hear they're really good about that in Des Moines, but in the big cities you forget about it. The comics, they go, they do their set, they leave.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Garnett, what about you? What do you think? Because you're from Sioux City.
Mm-hmm.
How does Sioux Falls compare to Sioux City in terms of the crowds, the collaboration, and so forth?
So I think the actual comics themselves, very similar.
Okay.
I mean, we invite them down anytime we have shows, and then definitely come up for their mics. They're there for our mics. It's definitely a strong team. Crowd's a bit different. We only got one open mic in Sioux City, and that's at a sports bar that happens every night when there's a sports game going on.
Yep.
So yeah.
Takes kind of a
while. Yeah, crowd's a little bit different, but we're slowly building that up. And yeah, just definitely grateful how these guys are so tight-knit and very similar for us.
You know that Gary Lewis character down there?
Oh, yeah. I've met him. Met him once or twice.
Yeah. I grew up with him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Friends since first grade.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We go back a bit.
Yeah. Actually, what was it? About 2 weeks ago, we did he held the Rivercade comedy competition. Had people coming in from, I think it was like Montana, Wyoming even.
Good. Yeah. It's good to see that this is growing so much. Jerry, you've come a long ways from Detroit. You did Rapid City for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Now here in Sioux Falls, what's your opinion of everything going on?
As far as the comedy?
As far as the comedy.
The comedy is great.
That's kind of what we were talking about here.
No, what's the water situation like?
Traffic.
The air is pretty nice here. You know. The landscape's pretty flat, but, you know, what can you do? No, I love the comedy here. You know, being a fan of comedy, I love comedy. And everybody's so different here. It's like no matter what your taste in comedy here, somebody's going to hit that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so we're all like, just the same enough to where everybody's funny, but everybody's still their own kind of funny, and that's like rare. It's like nobody's pretending.
There's not really a lot of competition.
Yeah.
Because why compete? Because you're so different than I am. Yeah, anybody
can throw on any type of theme show, just like tonight, throw on a theme show, and we're gonna have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
Andrew, your thoughts?
The scene in Sioux Falls has been great, and like. It was decent when I started, but it's only grown since then. It feels like it's a pretty rapidly growing scene, especially when, you know, we have people like Jamie who are aggressive supporters, like not just of women in comedy, but of, you know, all of us in comedy. So it seems like a scene that is like really good, really friendly, you know, really diverse in just terms of everything, in terms of like, you know, jokes and types of people and backgrounds and everything. And it's only going to keep getting better. And I think the only limiting factor is the audience, who all shows up and who all comes and supports it, because you can only have the comics support each other so much.
Yes. All right. Jamie, you get the final thought tonight. You put this show on tonight, and you've been on before. We've talked so much, but what about, you know, the actual scene as you're seeing it right now? What do you think?
Oh my God, it's so much crazier than it was whenever I first started. Whenever I first started, it seemed really small, and it seemed like a clique I was never going to really fit into. And then that was just dumb of me to think, because everybody turned out to be so nice. I just had to, like, make an effort, you know, to talk to people and make friends. But yeah, the scene here is great because everybody is so different. Every single one of us has a different voice. And when you go to other places, it's like a pack of saltine crackers. It's all the same white guy with a flannel shirt.
Right.
I'm not talking about you, Logan. We got to have at least one in the group. But it's like it's like 80 it's like 80 Logans for every open mic in other cities. But here, at least, we only have the one, so...
And he lives in Susan.
He has to travel to get here.
And he has to travel to get here, so it's really not that bad. No, I'm just kidding, Logan. Just kidding. No, I mean, like, every single one of us has a completely different point of view, upbringing, worldview, so our comedy reflects that, and we're all come from different backgrounds, different, you know, everything. And Sioux Falls is like a really weird melting pot of...
Oh, yeah.
Of theater kids, let me tell you, it's yeah, it's a little purple dot, and it's like every theater kid and every band nerd decided they were going to make their own utopia in Sioux Falls, and that's what we've got here. Yeah,
yeah. We'll go for that for a new moniker.
Yeah,
yeah. Make your utopia in Sioux Falls.
Your weird theater kid utopia.
If you got a C in band, move here.
Yeah. If you hung out with the drum line after the football game because they had the best green,
I feel
move to Sioux Falls.
As the drum line, I feel attacked.
All right. Hey, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your time tonight. Appreciate you letting me be a part of this, Jamie.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Appreciate you all sticking around afterward, and I'm really thirsty, so I need a Jack Daniels, and we'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Jesse Moffitt, and I'm not a piano player. I'm a comic magician and hypnotist. I've been performing for over 20 years. I've performed at many events, corporate events, holiday parties, post-prom parties, graduation parties, state and county fairs, festivals, just about anything you can imagine. The funniest thing about the Magic Act is that I use a ton of audience participation, and that can make things really interesting.
Put it down the front of your shirt. Stop being so, I'm not, my hand won't follow.
The best thing about the hypnosis show is that the volunteers and their imaginations really make it a blast.
Holy crap, dude, did you see what you just did? You could do that possibly to girls.
For booking information, go to Jesse Moffitt Entertainment on Facebook. That's JESSEMOFFITT. Or call 605-929-0964.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to you for listening. Thanks to Ricardo at R Wine Bar for providing a great place for us to set up and record the Madison Elliott interview. And thank you, of course, to Maddie. What a spirit she is. Fun times. And then, speaking of fun, laughing a lot, all the comics that were involved. And thank you to Jamie Tharney for putting on an event on a Sunday afternoon in a backyard with comedy with a professional wrestling theme. What could go wrong? It was more like what everything could go right. So thank you to the guests. Thank you again, Ricardo. And looking forward to recording a few more next week with Ricardo even being one of the guests. Okay, what's on the schedule? Well, tonight, Miss Carries and I are headed to the Goodnight Theater Collective's Rewind Cabaret. Very much looking forward to that. Tomorrow night, I'm actually performing at a private event, a corporate event for a very short time, but it's going to be a lot of fun with a lot of fellow people that I've acted with in the past, and we'll maybe tell you a little bit about that next week then. But then at 9 o'clock, we're going to the Headlights Theater on Friday night. Saturday, we're going to be in Okoboji, Iowa, taking my 93-year-old mother down there as we, you know, we like to go to the dry dock down there. Like so many things, the dry dock is becoming condominiums next year. So we're going to go down and have one final good breakfast at the dry dock with Mama Holly. In the meantime, remember, I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, Ale Hop Brewery Tours, and Jesse Moffitt Entertainment. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.